I believe we're going to go to number six. I think you covered, well, I guess we'll be sure we covered everything on 5B. Is that sound right?
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we review 5B just to make sure we've got it all in place. Now, actually, we covered that pretty well, that there's several different things that that we suggest people ask for. And, of course, if there are other things that need to be added to the list for the individual, great, you know, adapt it, adjust it. But they're the best questions or requests of Ruka Dikuja that I've come up with over the years. And so once you cancel the goal, and I'll just, you know, ask you to bring your answer from number 3 down to number 5A, cancel the goal, and then invite that power to go to work, and let's just see what happens. Let's see if you do those steps. You've already got the goal set up, so if you bring the goal to number 5, you tap in, key into that space of active love. Cancel whatever the goal was that you came up with as your final goal. And what happens? You may even, if you'd like, just do a quick review of, so anybody who's new to the show today would catch up with, you know, maybe a brief explanation of one, what your goal was for who's involved in that process.
Okay, so specifically, that would be step 3, correct?
Step 3 is the goal. I'm just suggesting that maybe just for a quick review, if you'd share, you know, number 1, what the worksheet's about for you, the situation, what the thoughts are, and then what the goal is. Bring the goal into number 5 and do the actual canceling process. See where we go.
Okay. So beginning with the situation of the worksheet, is that correct?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, just a quick review.
Well, we titled the man George that had changed dramatically the view from where I live across the street. And by putting in some containers, he had to remove the natural beauty of that view. So the goal was that he not mess up the view in the community.
And so what you wanted him to do was to mess up the view?
To not.
So you want him to mess up the view? If I say don't think about the color of your car, what fires in brain cells?
That's
kind of this is a really important thing in that step and in the worksheet, mm-hmm. is to really look at, that's why the words say the constructive result. And so you really want to be, and this is a big challenge for people to move out mm-hmm. of. The focus for so long for humanity has been what we don't want. And it's a major challenge to move, to even conceive of, well, what is it that I want? Well, I don't want that to happen. No, what is it you want? Well, I don't want that to happen. That's pretty much standard procedure in the world today. So if you're really clear about what you don't want, guaranteed you're going to get it. That's how the mind works. It's all resonance. It's all energy. So
I see that. That's the total mind shift there.
We'd reviewed that back when we did step one, and you came up with a goal of what you really did want. Am I mistaken on that?
Well, let's see here. Let me look at my notes for 3 again.
And this is great because it really makes the point and how important it is. And it is urgent.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Michael, it's not coming to mind or my view at this moment. That okay.
So you don't have an actual worksheet that you've been writing on.
Yes, I do. Or it's on my notes. The goal I think that you might be referring to is that instead of saying not messing up Heartland, that was my first iteration. And now I look back at my notes from the show here, and that was changed to George would maintain the beauty.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's like, and I'm glad you're bringing that up, because it's a really important inflection point, because most of the world is working about and resisting and fighting against exactly what they don't want. And because the mind is an energetic device and works off a frequency, if you focus on what you don't want, the brain cells that resonate are what you don't want, and the brain cells that resonate determine what you're energetically creating.
Wonderful. I'm glad you have pointed that out also, as I've looked back on the notes, that he would maintain the beauty instead of saying it the first way I said it.
There you go.
Big difference. I see it now.
Yep. Yeah, it's major. It's a major key. So glad that one came up so we could remind everybody.
Yes. And me. So what we do want is what we want to reiterate and concentrate on.
Yeah. That's what you want to put in number three, and that's what you want to transfer down. Whatever you write in number three, you want to replicate that in number five. You want to just bring it down word for word.
So 5A would be that I would choose for George to maintain the beauty.
Right. So now what are you going to do with that?
Then that goal needs to be canceled. I need to cancel.
Correct.
That goal.
To which most people reply, but Michael, that's a perfectly awesome, wonderful goal. Why would I cancel my need for that? Why would I get rid of a good goal? Here's why. Because if you load a goal that resonates content in your mind that's linked to any form of hostility or fear, then your mind will build a perceptual construct based in hostility or fear. And you're automatically in difficulty. So it's not that there's anything wrong with the goal. It's a perfectly wonderful goal. Just that if there's some form of hostility or fear that moves with it, then the perceptual construct that your mind is going to generate is going to be based in hostility or fear. And if it is, the mind is using corrupt data, and it's always going to lead to problems. So I'm going to cancel that goal as many times as I need to. And, you know, they ask Yeshua, well, if I talk to my brother, and how many times do I need to forgive? Now, in the Greek translations, it says, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? As though it's my brother that I'm forgiving. We're offering to people, never forgive anyone for anything. That's one of the biggest mistakes you could possibly make, is to forgive someone or to forgive yourself. In Aramaic, if we read the translation correctly, it says, how many times should I forgive as to my brother? Not forgive my brother, but as to. And those two little words, I can remember when I first was introduced to that idea, it took me a long time to get, what does as to mean? What do you mean by as to? So let's imagine you and I interact, you're my brother, and you do something that brings up fear in me. I don't need to forgive you. I need to recognize that my physiology contains an energy called fear, and I'm in difficulty, and whenever that resonates, my perception is going to be distorted. And so I'm going not to going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive as to you, as to what you brought up in me. So you brought up my fear. It's my fear that I'm working toward forgiving, that I'm working toward letting loose of. It's not you. So another really key and important point. So I forgive as to what someone's bringing up in me each time I forgive. And so it's always going to be a good goal. It's always going to be something you could say, well, but what's wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfect. What a wonderful goal. Everybody should have that goal for, you know, for the people who are doing things in the world, whatever the goal is. So You're only canceling the goal because you recognize that it takes you into corrupt data in your mind, and you end up with a perception based in hostility or fear. And that will never serve you. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And to reiterate that if we're not forgiving the other person, we're forgiving
correct
what is coming up in us.
Correct.
So that's a 180-degree turn.
180-degree turn. That's it exactly. The Greeks have got it exactly backward. What the Greeks have named forgiveness is actually pardoning, or what we've been taught is forgiveness, is the act of pardoning. We've had a word switch take place. You know, Vladimir Lenin, who's probably responsible for more deaths on planet Earth than any human being in history, says if you want to destroy culture, just change the meaning of its words. If you want to get rid of people's understanding of something, change the meaning of one of the words involved, and their understanding is gone. It's now finished. There is no more understanding of it, and there is no tool left. You know, forgiveness was disappeared the day they changed it into pardoning. So the whole world's out there talking about pardoning, 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 but they're calling it forgiveness.
Wow, that is huge right there.
Yep. It's the core of it. And to me, the fact that this man 2,000 years ago understood this and gave it to the world, just about as quickly as he gave it, it was taken away by the mind. And then the Greeks came along and reinforced it. And it still surprises me. I've got people I've worked with for decades with this, and they've heard me talk about this over and over and over. But those old brain cells are so ensconced in the mind, so tied in, that people oftentimes still say, I already forgave them. It's like, stop. No forgiveness of them. Pardon them if you will, and then go do your forgiveness work. So most of the world talks about pardoning is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. So can we say this another way that, okay, so I pardon George, cancel my go, and the forgiveness is within me, within my thinking.
Correct. When you recognize that, you know, your brain generates the world that you see, the perceptual construct, you know, about 7/10,000ths of a second behind the event in the actuality, your mind generates a picture. They've actually measured it in the laboratory. Gene came up with that research back a couple of weeks ago. So they've come up with the actual time frame. And I was reading more about that today, and they compared it to someone playing baseball. So if a baseball player throws a ball at 80 miles an hour, by the time the hitter sees the ball, or quote-unquote sees the ball, they say he sees the ball, he doesn't see the ball at all, he sees a picture in his mind, perception, the ball has traveled 10 feet. By the time you, quote-unquote, see the ball, by the time the brain catches up with it, the ball has traveled 10 feet. And we've all learned how to compensate for that, so it doesn't look like there's any delay at all. But they've actually measured it in the laboratory, and the brain is 10/1,000ths of a second behind, or pardon me, 1/10,000ths of a second behind the actual event in the world. So when we're living in the constructs of the mind, we're living in what Yeshua referred to as the world of appearances. Remember, he said, don't judge by appearances.
Yes.
And then to the guy that wasn't in as much of a hurry to do his work as he pretended he was, he said, let the dead bury the dead. Let those who are living the past live in the past. Collapse that construct in your mind through forgiveness, and you get to come to the experience of the actual world, what actually happens. Now, even as you correct your mind and everything in the mind is accurate for what's going on in the world, it's still from the past. The most you can hope from the mind, you can never get a present moment experience from the mind. The most you can hope from the mind is that everything it gives you is accurate about what's going on in the world. That's a big step forward. And that's what we're looking to do by correcting the contents of the mind that's based in hostility and fear.
Because we're told the mind is just a history of the past. Is that still correct?
That would be it, yes. Everything that comes from it. You know, it has to be there in order for the mind to generate content based in it. It already has to be in the mind. So why am I canceling the goal? I'm canceling the goal because I recognize that I'm being tricked and I'm experiencing a construct from the past. And what I want to do is at least move up and come toward the present. And I want to remove the corrupt data, the hostility and fear-based data, from my mind. And the goal, you know, you remember we talked earlier about the fact that you notice you've never been upset with anybody when they're doing everything that you want them to do, unless, you know, you happen to be one of those just plain miserable people. You're never upset with anybody. Unless they're failing to fulfill a goal that you hold for them. And once you recognize that, then you recognize that you cancel the goal, not because you don't want what it's about, not because you can't have it. You cancel the goal because you recognize that your mind is using corrupt data and you want correction. You want to rid yourself of projected hostility and fear. Is that all fitting and making sense?
It is. Thank you. So I can take from that each time that I'm getting triggered about something is basically a worksheet that needs to be dealt with, and go back and cancel a goal that's bringing up hostility and fear.
Michael, I think you're muted.
Excuse me, I did mute for a second there. Yeah, you're canceling the goal so that perception collapses, and when it collapses in on itself, and that's what gives you access to the unconscious part of the mind, is when the mind, its perception is collapsed, then you get to access the hidden part of the mind. And that's when you get to clean it out. So the upset that seems to be about what's happening in the world, gee, the beauty's being destroyed, that whole picture collapses, and you get to drop into the hidden part of the mind that holds the upset. And when you can bring the upset directly to the surface in the presence of love, then the upset dissolves. And it's that dissolution or that transformation of energy that is forgiveness. That's where it happens.
And that's how we go from a perfectly good goal into something that's internally that needs to be changed.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the goal accesses corrupt data. Now, ultimately, people will end up doing worksheets around the wonderful things in their lives, usually most people start out with the, you know, the nasties in their lives, but then you go to even canceling the goal for the wonderful things, because if your mind is producing something 1/10,000th of a second after it happened, are you experiencing the present, even if it's a wonderful experience from the mind? No. And what we're working to do is to get to the direct experience of what's actually happening in our world.
Michael, could I ask you to run that by us again, please? That's so what you're saying is you're canceling, let's see. Even
most
a good goal
start,
needs to be worked on, then, is what
well,
you're saying.
All the goals, we're always looking for the constructive result. So all the goals are good. All the goals are wonderful. Okay. There's no problem with the goal. It's not about the goal. It's recognizing that what the goal resonates in you is something based in hostility or fear. That's the starting point for the work. So you cancel the goal to collapse that perception and heal what's underneath it. As you start moving along, you'll cancel the goal for even the wonderful things, quote unquote, wonderful things in your life. Because you recognize that even a wonderful experience, when it comes from a mind that's 1/10,000th of a second behind the actuality, is still doing the past. And if you're living in the past, then Yeshua would say to you, then let the dead bury the dead and the blind lead the blind. Stuck in the past. And so ultimately you even collapse the wonderful things, and you get to the point where you develop the faculty and the ability to experience actuality as it is in the moment, as an actual present moment experience. But first of all, it's about cleaning up the mind and its trauma.
Okay.
So I don't cancel the goal because I don't want it, because it isn't wonderful, because I cancel it because I'm acknowledging to myself that if my construct is based in hostility or fear, my mind is using corrupt data and showing me a totally false picture. And I want to clean that content. I want to clean, you know, it's like cleaning out all of the viruses on the hard drive. You're cleaning up the viruses. And anything based in hostility or fear, relative to truth, anything based in hostility or fear is a virus. So it's about getting rid of those. Become virus free.
That's a real good analogy for us to understand. Hostility of fear is like a virus on the computer.
Yeah. Hostility of fear means that you're in corrupt data, and your mind's telling you a lie by definition. You know, if you're in a situation, you don't have to figure out the situation. You don't have to do the he said, she said, they said, it happened, this happened. None of that's necessary. All you have to do is go, oh, is my mind producing a picture based in hostility or fear? Yes. Then my mind is using corrupted data. I want to clean up the corrupted data. And that's the most difficult piece of the puzzle for people to understand and comprehend.
Well, I'm slowly getting there. I remember in the beginning of this work, coming into the work, I couldn't understand why we're going to cancel a goal. It's becoming real clear now. After all this time.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, if I type into my computer 2 + 2 and the answer comes up 5, then I'm going to need to do something to clean up the content of the computer. Just sitting there typing 2 + 2, 2 + 2, 2 + 2 is never going to get me anywhere. Holding to that action, holding on to a goal is never going to get me anywhere. I have to do something to go in and clean up the corrupt data. Canceling
yes.
the goal allows me to get into internal memory, the unconscious, and clean it up. So how about if you go ahead and tap in, bring the answer down to number 5 for George to maintain the beauty of the space, cancel your need for it, ask Greco for support, and see what happens. See what moves for you. You want to go ahead and do it out loud?
Yes, this is where I'm inviting Rupa Dakusha to incline me toward the healing. That's the first checkbox. Restore me to my newborn essence, love.
You've done the canceling of the goal.
Yeah, canceling the goal, correct. And capacity.
So you actually said yourself, I cancel my need for George to maintain the beauty of the space?
Yes, I that would have been better to start with that. So I cancel that goal of George to maintain the beauty of this place. And I now invite Rupa Dakusha to incline me toward healing and restore me to my newborn essence, which is love. Heal my denial.
Notice what's happening with your breath. Consciously, purposely breathe.
Slows everything up. Beautiful.
And what's happening as you breathe?
Just a peaceful feeling of grounding. Yeah.
Any particular thoughts or?
Nothing that's coming up right now.
Okay. So how do you feel? Peaceful?
Peaceful, yes. Peaceful, grounded. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How were you feeling up in number 1 when you started the worksheet? Number 1B?
Yeah, 1B was like, yikes, you know, frowned and what's happening? Very likely anger, frustration.
So you can see a shift in your physiology and in your emotional state.
Most definitely, yes.
Nice. Cool. And if you look at that situation now, you think about looking across the road. What comes up in your mind? Or, you know, get up and go take a look. What happens?
Well, certainly much more peace than it was several weeks ago. And the frustration isn't there. I look at it and say, it is. Mike, am I still with you?
You are. He must be muted.
You certainly are. You certainly are.
Okay. Didn't lose everybody. So I was saying that I look at it and the frustration isn't there, and I just realize it is. It's there.
When you say it, I realize it is, what does that mean?
It has it has come about, and the canceling of the goal.
But when you say I realize it is, I'm not sure what you're referring to as it.
That the situation has happened and it's there. It's
okay. So it is what it is, rather than I'm projecting my frustration and pain into it.
Yes. It is what it is. That's even more clear.
Nice.
Is that
and
a,
then
mm-hmm.
That's right on topic. And then looking at that goal that you held for someone to maintain the beauty has to be shown a time when you've not maintained the beauty of something, where someone perhaps accused you, or maybe you accused yourself of damaging something beautiful.
So I should ask myself that?
Yeah, so 6B,
yeah.
I ask to be shown a time when I have not fulfilled number 3.
Okay, I see where you are. Mm-hmm. And I can come up with lots and lots of times. So that is what goes into 6B. So 6A's how we're feeling.
Correct.
After canceling the goal, 6B... when I have
now,
done this
right.
to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I might have done it to someone else. I might have done it to myself. I might have done it to the
myself.
Environment. Just, yeah.
In general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go ahead and write whatever comes, whatever memories come.
Okay.
And what's happening with your breath?
I find myself holding it for a minute, but I'm breathing again.
Good, good catch.
Yes. So at the after 6C, that is when you're drawing feelings again?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And recommitting to love and canceling of all the times I wanted number 3 from someone else. And all this time, I'm gathering that we're still inviting Rukha Dukusha to help us with Rakma and remove the gateway, the filter in our brain.
Michael, I think you're muted again.
So as you do that, make notes. You've made a step into your unconscious dynamics by canceling that goal. So just really pay attention. This is one of the reasons for doing the worksheet in writing. Really pay attention to what moves in you as you do this. And make notes on any thought that comes forward. There might just be the flash of something that happened when I was 3. There might, could be anything. I want to make notes on that.
So that was pretty
and
much
be paying attention to your breath,
step, Michael. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, especially after you've canceled the goal, that's what opens and starts to give you access to the unconscious dynamics of your mind. Is the canceling of the goal. In the Aramaic, that's the desert or the heart. Take care of the heart, for out of this, for out of it are the issues in life. This is how you take care of the heart. You're now going to be more in touch. Each time you do a worksheet, you'll be more in touch with unconscious dynamics. Pay attention to what it has to say to you. Pay attention. It will tell you what your next piece of work is. Pay attention. It will tell you where the issues are that are most important for you to deal with.
Okay.
And are you breathing?
Yes. As I write my notes.
Awesome.
Yes. Okay, so we've gone through 6E. Drama, feelings, committed again to love.
All right.
And what is, I'm looking at the side box now, my emotional upset level after, does that go along with, that's along with 6C?
Yeah, up at the top. And you know, if I'm thinking back, we may not have done that step. Up at the top, when you looked at number 1B, what your emotion was, you make a note, was that on a scale of 1 to 10, what was that emotional upset level? Was it a 2, a 7, a 10? What?
I see.
And then you're just kind of checking yourself here afterward. What's my emotional upset level when I look at this situation?
Okay, got that.
Now, did you get what the initials are about in that box? So the second part of the right here to help achieve this. So I'm committed to living a human life, that is to live as love. To help achieve this, I do a mass canceling of all the times I wanted someone to maintain beauty from someone. Checkbox, and then you just put the initials of anybody that you've ever had that goal for. You know, it might be self, it might be mom, it might be first girlfriend, it might be the guy you went to school with, you know, whoever.
Okay.
And just cancel the goal for every set of initials that you put in there.
Excellent. So it's not just my initials. It's everyone that I can think of at that moment that would fit in that situation.
It's kind of like you got the roller coaster going. It's heading downhill, and so you want to process through every time that goal has ever been active in your mind, and it's been frustrated. It's not been achieved. So whoever you held that goal for, and they've not achieved it. Again, it might be yourself, it might be anybody in your life. And in the situations that are, you know, bigger upsets that people do worksheets around, you know, there might be 20 sets of initials. There have been all kinds of people that have held that goal for. And becoming conscious of that helps to, once again, open the space for full conscious awareness.
Okay.
And breathe. And then number 7, a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. You know, when you think about sending energy out, whatever I offer to somebody else has to come through my energy field. I get the original. And so I'm grateful for this opportunity to heal. Gratitude's a very powerful healing energy. So I'm grateful. And then I choose truth. It's reinforcing what we did back in step 2, where I want to honor truth. I choose truth and perfect love. And perfect love, interestingly enough, when you go back to the Aramaic and you hear them saying, perfect love casts out fear. If perfect love is active, your mind cannot generate a fear-based reality. What is perfect love? Perfect love is rachma set over intentions, and then there's a corollary filter, a similar filter to rachma over perception. And that one in Aramaic is called Kubah. Again, there's no such concept in the English or the Greek or the Latin language as these filters. So over the perceptual mind, there's another filter that in Aramaic was called Kubah. And when Rachma and Kubah, they're interrelated and interconnected filters. And when they're both active, in Aramaic, that was called perfect love. And now you've gated out of perception, out of intentions by doing that, every negative or destructive goal you've ever had, and every set of brain cells, any form of hostility or fear. So your perception, your intentions are key to love, which means your goals are key to love. Your perception's key to love because Rachma is active. And now you've got the condition that was referred to as perfect love. And if fear is resonated when perfect love is active, and if you can keep that active, and ultimately one of the goals of this work is to support people being aware of this perfect love and maintaining it no matter what, being in a permanent state where that's active. And so if that's active and life comes along and resonates an old genetic terror or trauma, the simple fact that that Rachma and Kubah are set, that we've committed to that and we're maintaining that, means that when something comes along that resonates something based in hostility or fear, that hostility or fear-based energy is automatically transmuted. It's automatically healed. So the hostility or fear, you know, and you look at
it. You know, perfect love casts out fear.
Mm-hmm. You're like it's a demon. You know, in that ancient construct, they're talking about fear as demons, it's just there to be cast out. That's what they were casting out. They weren't casting out creatures.
So it's the hostility and fear that's being cast out.
Correct. And any intention keyed to that or any perception keyed to that. Now you've got a healed mind. Now you get to start to live a true human life.
Michael,
that's
how
what
do
we're
you
here to
spell?
Do.
Yes. Yes. So we have perfect love, so it's Rachma, and what is the other one
Kubah,
you mentioned?
Kubah. Kubah. Kubah.
Kubah. Okay.
And if the pronunciation, pardon me, were actually accurate, it would probably, the K is silent, so it would actually be more like Huba. It's one of those guttural sounds, both Rachma and Kubah. If you were saying it, you know, it's one of those things that your mother told you never to do, because when you use your throat like that, you spit on people when you talk. So it's actually Rachma and Huba.
So the guttural languages, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kubah. So both working together, both being present is perfect love.
Active simultaneously, and the mind can't generate, the mind can't utilize anything based in hostility or fear in producing either intentions, goals, or perceptions. Just can't do it. Good. Breathing is a good thing. That's what we're here for.
Yes, and then we have a healed mind. Wonderful.
Now, the last step is you want to formulate a new goal that you're willing to set and take action on toward the object of attention. So toward George, what would your new goal be for George, toward George? You know, the next time you see George, what are you going to do? The next time you think of George, what are you going to do? I mean, have you been thinking of George prior to starting on this piece of work? when you thought of George, what kind of energy left your mind? What kind of resonance was there toward George?
Probably not very nice.
Okay. So now what are you going to do?
I look back at my notes and I wrote out, I choose truth and perfect love. And I would think it'd be something along those lines.
Yeah.
How to choose truth and perfect love.
So,
of course, at that point,
then what
I
would
didn't
that
know
goal
how to
be?
Choose. Yeah, that's what I said. At that point, I didn't know how to choose a goal.
Yeah.
So, what would that goal be?
So, what would that goal be? So whenever I think of George, I'm going to
think of perfect love.
Say again?
I think of perfect love.
Yeah.
I choose truth.
Consciously, purposely
love.
Choose to tap into love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to extend that energy toward him.
So is this where a saying that I've heard somewhere that we look at each individual as their true potential instead of what we think it is? Something along that, is that along
yeah,
those
as
lines?
You see him, as you see him through Brockman and Kuba, you will no longer project any of your deficiencies into your brain's image of him, and he's going to change. The energetic patterns that you send him from the unconscious will change, and he will tend to respond differently to you.
And that is how the world changes one person at a time.
You got it. That's the bottom line of it all.
Mm. Soften and breathe.
And every person that allows hostility or fear to move in them when they think of someone is literally, you know, one of the things we get into our Laws of Living course is that a condition in one mind will tend to resonate that condition in another person's mind. So if I think of him and what moves in me is hostility, he gets within 10 feet of me and hostility is going to tend to resonate in him. If I'm, and there's that line in the worksheet, when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. If I choose to resonate love, then the tendency is going to be, sooner or later, that's going to become strong enough in him that it'll take over his behavior toward me.
And it may not necessarily, and I'm not talking just in the case of George, but in general, it may not happen the first time then, or the second, or the tenth time.
Correct. But when you choose the higher energy, I mean, whatever energy you move, it's like two tuning forks. If I've got a middle C tuning fork and I put it near a second middle C tuning fork, that second tuning fork doesn't have any choice. Now, if I put a middle C tuning fork moving in front of a middle A tuning fork, that tuning fork doesn't have a choice either. It's not going to move. Nothing's going to happen because there's no energy exchange. There's no resonance. But when the middle C is put in front of the middle C, the second tuning fork has no choice but to resonate. Each and every one of us as human beings is that nature of love. And when we start holding to that, rather than holding to all of our own unresolved hostilities and fears, then what will happen is people will, that energy, even if they've never, you know, aside from birth, you know, the first minute of birth, the rage and the fear started, the trauma started. If they have no recall whatsoever of it, sooner or later, that's going to become strong enough in them to break through the hostility and fear-based perceptions and experiences that they've had in their lives. This is going to change everything. And there's nothing we know of in the material universe that can stop the high energy wave that leaves the mind when we think a thought. So if I think about the peasant in the fields of Russia, the energy that I tap into around that thought is communicated to the peasant in the fields of Russia. I don't have to say a word. It's just pure resonance. No choice about it. So when I choose love, why does it wake up the love in everyone? Because that's what everyone is. And when the energy moves in me, it has to move in them. It may take some time to move sufficiently for them to become cognizant of it when their habit, you know, get out of that habit mind, when the habit is hostility and fear. But it's going to move. There's no choice. It's just the way resonance works.
Mm-hmm. So we don't even have to be present in front of the person?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Not at all. All minds are in continuous communication. And I'm always communicating to all the world whatever's moving in me energetically. The firing of a brain cell sets in motion an energy wave just like throwing a pebble in a pond. And the energy that moves is communicated.
That is really big. Really big.
Mm-hmm. Core stuff, core principles.
I think we have looked through the whole sheet at this point.
Yay.
We get to start it again tonight.
Aha.
And listen and re-listen.
Well, that's cool. We finished the worksheet in 8 days. Nice work. A lot of great material. This is going to become a future part of teacher training.
It's been quite a journey, Michael, and I thank you all again. And I'm sure I'm going to have some other questions next week.
Of course.
I'll work through that this weekend. And exciting. It's really exciting.
Well,
to
we're
know
down to about.
Part.
Say again.
We're coming up on the.
We've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, yeah. If we run the clock out, we've got about 2.5 minutes or so.
Okay.
And we can run the clock out. We don't need to do the outro.
Yeah. This is really exciting to know how we can help. In doing this, we're helping ourselves. We're helping our fellow person. We're helping the world. And we're helping ourselves by, like we talked about on Monday, I believe, and how we can help each other of our body with our thoughts. It's really powerful.
That's exactly the reason for doing this work. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And every mind that joins in bringing into the manifest world a body fueled by love strengthens the presence of that energy and the potential for it to be expressed through every other person. That's where Yeshua talks about a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. That it only takes a small contribution from a certain number of people, and the energy becomes universally available. So thank you for your questions, your diligent work, and we look forward to watching how it unfolds in your world and how what you do with it impacts the world as well. Ultimately, our commitment is every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's what this whole project is about, so we appreciate you being part of bringing it forward.
Well, welcome, and I appreciate you all also, and it's been a nice journey, and looking very